You may speak to people that I don't even know, that on every age level, from child all the way up, that God, people will understand what I'm about to say, that Lord, your word would be preeminent in all things, that you would make us the spiritual people that you have designed us to be, and that nothing that is said today, I rebuke the birds of the enemy that would seek to take this seed away. But Lord, let it be planted as all of us. Let us all be like that 1/4 that bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. I thank you for that covering today of prosperity, that covering today of letting the word find good soil. We thank you for this in Jesus. I felt that one right there. We thank you for this, Holy Ghost. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I felt that right there. How many want the Holy Ghost to put that word in you? How many want that on the inside? Hallelujah. I want you to repeat loud after me. Lord, give me a receiving heart. Lord, let it come forth. Some 30, some 60, but give me 100. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Today, I want you to write down this thought. We are in the series, as you know, the series are ordinary people experiencing extraordinary things. Ordinary people experiencing extraordinary things. One of our ministers today was at the store next door. And when they went to the store to buy a soda, there were two homeless guys actually in the back of it. And when the homeless guys were in the back, he went and witnessed to them, and they had back problems. But by the time he finished praying for them, both of them said, now, this doesn't make any sense. My back has been made whole. What in the world? And all of this takes place before church even happens. So why is it that this can take place in all of us? It wasn't the ones with the preacher, the one that had been ordained in front of everybody. While I am honored by the honor that I have in my title as apostle and bishop, I honor that because that is something God gave to me, and it's a calling that's been on my life. But my job is not to revel in that, but to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The real reason that I even exist is that you might perform the works of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're supposed to perform them. And turn the other side and say, I'm waiting on mine. Come on, give it to me. That's right. You better demand something from somebody. Hello, somebody. You know, they don't have to believe it. You just demand. I don't care what you think. Give it to me. You know, you don't believe yet, but I know it's in you, so give it to me. I need a healing. I need a miracle. Give me my miracle. You may be afraid, but I don't care. The Holy Ghost still is in you. Give me my stuff. Come on now. What I'm talking about is that you don't always have to know everything, but you just step out on the word, and the word comes alive for you. Come on, somebody. You can't cross the Red Sea except you first put your foot in the water, then the waters part. You can't say, well, I'll wait till the waters part, then I'll cross. God said, nope, that's not how I work. You put your toe in first. Show me you're willing to walk, and I will open up the waters in front of you. You may not understand all that God has in you, but I do. That's why I say we have one of the greatest churches on the planet, right here in Leesburg, Florida. Man, if you only see what I see, how great you are, you better take down somebody's name next to you because they're going to be awesome. What you need to do is borrow some money now. So when they're getting famous, you'll be like, you remember that $2 I gave you? But the only way we can get to that place in God is that, and write this down, God wants you to live unfettered. fettered. UNFETTERED. Unfettered. Now, what does this mean? To be unfettered means to be loosed from the chains of logic that tells us God cannot do what he said he can do. Do you hear me? To be unfettered means to be loosed from the chains of logic that tells you our God cannot do what he says he can do. Everybody in this building comes from someplace, okay? Some of us come from great places. How many out here from out west? How many from California area? Amen. How many from Boston up north area? Let me see your hands. Amen. How many from crazy Wildwood? Yes. Y'all stay on this side of the building, please. We got special ushers for that. They got cow prods. But all of us come from some place, and I can tell you we all come into the Lord at different times. But in the time it took for us to come into the Lord, we've learned different things. Things that have taught us the wrong way to look at God. Things that have that we logically say, well, that can't happen, that can't be, that can't take place. I've never seen it happen. Just because you've never seen it happen in your life doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. Hello, somebody. So I'm here to tell you, we have to live a life that is unfettered in God. Our minds need to be unlocked in God. And this is why I believe that the church is necessary to help us discover truth. You know, we wonder, why do we go to church? Why should we be there every weekend? There's a trend in America, and I curse that trend, where they come every other weekend. They come once a month. The devil is a liar. Hello, somebody. You can barely live off of what you got now. If you can only get God an hour a week, come on, that's not enough. You need to be there every weekend, learning and growing and developing. And what I am saying to you is, as you do that, that's why the local church was established, a place for us to come and to learn of the things of God, what the apostles taught, what Jesus taught the apostles, so we could do the works of him who called us. Here's what I want you to know about the church. Here's what Paul described the church. Go to 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. And I want us to read how Paul looks at the local church. There's a lot of words out there about the local church is a bad thing. No, it's not. It's a God thing. Here's how Timothy describes the local church. Would you read verse 15? Okay, let's all read together. Amen. I can see who's not reading. Here we go. And go.
So then I have the faith, you will know how people must conduct
themselves. The household of God is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation. Do you see that? The church is the pillar. It holds up something. And the foundation of truth. See, what we need to do is be exposed to truth. Because you can sit at home and watch television, and television will teach you a lie. It will tell you that you cannot be successful. It will tell you your marriage will fail. It will tell you your children are sick. It will tell you you cannot overcome. It will tell you that God is just something designed by culture. It will tell you there's no power in this world. It will tell you we will die without any hope. But that ain't the truth. The reality is, God wants to teach us the truth about life, the truth about life, and then properly, how do you handle your relationships with God and other people? That's the reason we gather, to understand how to handle our relationships, both with God and with one another. But we must remember the real essence of the church is to give you the power to unlock the best you can be. Oh, Pastor Yates, that sounds like, you know, positive thinking. And no, listen. Listen, when Saul was looking for his donkeys in the Old Testament, he was the first king of Israel. He walked in among the prophets. And when he got around the right people, the Bible says, this man who never prophesied began to prophesy in the midst of the people. And they were all in shock because he's never done it before. What happened? When he got among the right people where the presence of God was, Saul became the best man he could ever be. The Bible says he began to prophesy like another man. God wants you to get all of him so you can be the best you that you can be. Time out for dry church. Time out for saying the Holy Ghost doesn't move anymore. Time out for saying there's no more healing. Let those people die off in the church, but let the living of God rejoice. I believe the truth. I was on a flight coming from out of town, and someone told me there's no more healing in the Bible, because once the Bible got closed, that meant that there was no more need for healing. What? That's what I said. I'm like, where do you get that from? Well, there's no need once they codified the Bible, then you have everything you need. Hold on now. The Bible says that the works of Jesus could not be contained in the books. The world could not contain all that Jesus did while he was alive. And how can you tell me you got the last chapter? That ain't the truth. The truth says that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. Now, I'm not talking about testing a serpent. Woo! Let's see if it bite me. If it bite me, I'm going to survive. No, you're going to die. And I'm going to laugh, and I'll do your funeral. I'm like, I told him. No. What he's talking about is when we are carrying the gospel. When we come in Middle East, there were serpents everywhere. And he says, if a serpent bites you, it won't hurt you when you're walking out the gospel. And if you get around water that's contaminated and you need to drink, then the water will be healed for you to drink. And when you go into someone's house and someone in the house is sick, he says, pray for the sick so they could be whole. This is the inheritance of the saints of God. Turn off the television. Turn off the radio. Turn off the things that tell you you're not God's son. You're not God's daughter. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. Listen to him who paid with his own blood on Calvary about who you are. Not one of those TV stations, not one of those superstars would give their life for you. But Jesus gave his life that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Listen to him. There are many religions that'll tell you, meditate and you'll be all right. Yeah, dude, I'm meditating. Woo, yeah, I'm all right. But your life is in shambles. There are places that'll tell you, listen, believe in a God that has six arms. You're gonna do scratch my back? I don't need a God with six arms. Just tell me what to do, God, and I can do it myself. I don't need to worship some demon in order to get what I need. I can worship my God and get everything I need. You talking to a man who didn't believe in God, who was born under the star of logic. Logic got me stuck. I'm like, man, we came from monkeys, man. Y'all ain't know that? Y'all ain't been to science class? Man, y'all behind the game. Christians, they don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? We evolved. Don't you know what they say? We evolved from monkeys. We're all monkeys' uncles. Amen. And I was so good at what I did, I would convert Christians. Because I was more convicted about what I believed than what they were convicted by. Don't ever let that happen to you. Don't be so weak in the word that a sinner can convict you better than you can convict them. Study, 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 study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're going to get tested on what you know. Don't be ashamed when somebody comes with something heavier than you and you don't have an answer. No, this is why we come to church, to learn the truth. Church, I want to show you what that truth looks like for you and I. It comes with power to unlock who we're supposed to be. But it does require that you empty what you have been misinformed about. It does require that you let this new word reshape your mind to fit the change that has happened when we become born again in the Spirit. To shape into you what you are meant to be. When you give Jesus Christ your life, you are not the same. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now listen. This is where we have a problem. That's why when you are born again of the Spirit, discipleship is mandatory. Teaching, being taught who you are, learning now your spiritual position in God. It's mandatory. He says, go ye, the Great Commission doesn't just say, go ye and get people saved. It said, go ye and make disciples. It didn't say just get them saved, because when you just get saved, you've got the power of God in you, but you have no knowledge how to unlock all that power. What if I gave you a key to a house that had $10 billion? To a house that had everything you would ever want sitting on the floor in that brand new house? What if I were to give to you the key to the house that has all your joy, happiness, and peace? But I don't tell you where to find it. What good is the key? When we come to Christ, unless we know, hey, I've got to know where the resources are, we will be stuck with a saved life without knowledge. And then we get treated and we react the same way we have always reacted. Let me explain. I remember going to a prison one time, and there was a young man who was in the prison, and he said, you know, the worst thing ever happened to me was when a man came into the prison and he preached salvation and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he says, and then he left and he threw me back out to the wolves. You know what it's like to be a baby in the midst of wolves? He says, I was torn apart. Not until someone realized that, man, I need to learn and grow in order to be all that I'm supposed to be. I'm here to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, if you can hear my voice online around the world, you are more than what you think you are. You can do more, see more, I mean, have more. Experience more than you have right now. Wherever you are right now, that is nothing compared to where you could be. I need you to trust me on this one. I am here for no other reason for that you would become all that God called you to be. Now, here's the good news. We can overwrite what we've been taught wrong, And we can become what we were meant to be, unfettered. But we must empty our cups and be renewed with the faith that comes only from hearing God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by not anything else. Why I went to college, not going to do it. Why I went to high school, not going to do it. Went to vocation, not going to do it. Well, I was among the greatest men in the world, not going to do it. I was around real wise people, not going to do it. I was around the great gurus of the world, not going to do it. Except the word of God becomes a part of your life, you can't be all that God called you to be. You belong to him now. He's spirit. And you got to get spirit. The Bible says that this word is spirit and it is life. How many want more life than you had before? Yes. This is what you get. This is what I want to tell you about. Now, watch this. I want you to go to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul speaks to the Roman church and tells us these things we must do in order to begin the process of getting all that God has for us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you have it, I want you to read it. Let's read it together. It's going to be a new Living Version. And it says, "And so, dear brother and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy." Okay, God's not asking you to die. He wants you to be alive. He wants you to give your body for him, that he can use you for great things. Watch this. "The kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Look at verse 2. And I want you to read it all together. Go. Stop right there. Let him change you to a new person by changing the way you think. The only reason that's stopping most of us is the way we think. Why one person can do one miracle or go someplace and another cannot is because of the way we think. One will fill themselves with God's word and think like God, and another will empty out of their life God's word and think like the world, and one will have two different outcomes. Church, I don't want you to live by what you know. It didn't teach you everything. Let God teach you to be sons and daughters, high priests, kings and queens. You are better than what the devil tried to make you or try to break you. You are better than the sins you've made. Do you understand me? He saw those and still wanted you. Come on, somebody. He knew the worst you would do, but isn't it good to take something broken and make it perfect again? That's the testimony. That's you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Woo. Look at this. He says in his word, it's not just your natural mind, but the spiritual mind. You have to have a spiritual mind to hold these incredible truths about yourself, about this world, and about the world to come. Until you become a believer, your mind can't even handle the things that God has prepared for you. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for him that love him. But watch this. But these things are revealed to us by his spirit. Unless the Holy Ghost is in your life, unless you just accept Jesus in your life, you will always be looking this way. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, you have the capacity to look up, 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 up. I am not who I used to be. I will not go back to who I used to be. I will always be different. I will always be. You can't make me go back. No, sir. No, sir. My mind, my thinking has been elevated. You understand? I don't think small. I think big, baby. I don't go home to you. Man, please. It's children who think small. When I take my children to a fancy restaurant, they better not order no chicken nuggets. Come on, somebody. After all, those chicken nuggets are like $50 a piece. You go to McDonald's for that. But once your mind is renewed to know who you can be, give me that steak over there, please. With the baked potato and the works. Sour cream and chives, please. And now's my youngest, Faith. God has called us to think differently, think differently. Think, say it with me, think differently, think differently. Say, think higher, think higher, think higher. That's how you were designed. First, get the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're on your way, baby. But then you got to fill your mind back up. Let me tell you what it looks like before and after. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I want to tell you how people think before and after coming to Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I'm not going to take that much longer, but I'm not going to finish this, but I need to teach this because I want you to start experiencing. Listen, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to hear the voice of God? Who wants to hear the voice of God? Can I tell you? You already do. You already do. You just don't know when he's talking. Because you haven't discerned the difference between your voice and his. But that's something that's taught. That's a change of your thinking. Man, some of you are here because God called you here. And you didn't even know it. You just showed up. If something was on you like, man, I need to get back to church. I need to get back to church. I need to get back to church. And then someone call you, hey, won't you come back to church? You go, where are we going to go? I don't know. Where are you going to go? Where you want to go? Well, we can go to Frontier. We know, let's go to Frontier. I heard about Frontier. Well, oh, you go to Frontier. And then everybody, oh, let's join the church. No, I'm just, sorry. Whew, I get a little excited. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Watch this. This is how it was before. It says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles. Now, I'm going to put in as you used to. Live no longer as you used to, for they are hopelessly confused. Oh, man, what am I supposed to do? What's my purpose? Man, I don't know who I'm supposed to marry, what I'm supposed to do. You know, I need somebody to help me. 18. Their minds are full of darkness. No light. In other words, they're just like, man, what's the purpose? They want to give up. They want to give their life over. They want to quit. They just want to just, what's the purpose? You know, let me dope myself into stupor. Let me just, my addiction, let me just let it just numb me. Let me just give my body because it's the only pleasure I seem to have. What's the point? If everybody else is going to do it, I might as well do it too. They live in darkness. Their minds are dark. They wander far from the life of God. Wait, they wander far from the life God gives, meaning that God's going like this. Here, here. here. And they keep going, here, no, no, here, 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 it's free, here, free, free. You're scaring me. Free, free. Like, what's he doing? Look at this. They wander far from the life of God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Who's God? I don't believe in God. What's he ever done for me? Bump him, man. If it was God, why did I go through that? All the while they're saying, and God's saying, here, 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 here. There's a way out. There's a way out. God doesn't love me. Look at the world. Darkness. Darkness. God didn't do that. The devil did it. The enemy of your soul is trying to keep you in darkness. The old life kept you in darkness. Watch this. Next verse. They have no sense of shame, shame, shame. I want you to think in your mind that thing you did. Don't say it out loud. How many had a moment of shame in their life? I remember mine. Ooh, ooh. We all did it. Don't come to church looking for perfect people. Because they dead and in heaven right now. The rest of us are trying to get there. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. This is the life without the light, without your mind changed. Next verse, watch this. But it isn't what you learned about Christ. He's talking to a people that were taught better. 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Throw it off. Can I have that back, please? Thank you so much. Throw it off. Meaning, if you're born again, stop living like you aren't. There are too many in church that have seen people live this way, and they think we all live that way. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, throw it off. You're drinking behind the scenes. Throw it off. You're fornicating behind the scenes. Throw it off. Don't play with me and say, hey, listen, you know, I let my cuss word slip. You need to take that mind and throw it off. That's a mind that you had when you were in darkness. All that tells me is that you don't have enough light. Light reacts differently. Look what Paul says. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Woo, there goes that thinking again. That way you think about stuff, you're no longer negative. How many have been around negative people before? How many around negative people now? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I was the most negative dude ever. EBA, ever. I didn't believe anything could happen. Doubted it all. Logic wrapped my mind up in darkness. If I didn't see it, I didn't believe it. And it took a God of light to give me his word, which is light, to teach me to think differently, which is light, illuminate my mind with that light. Then I speak what I now can see by the light of the word. Look what he says, verse 24. Put on your new nature, created to be. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. Woo! Come on, somebody went shouting right there. Put on, meaning you have the right. Take your right and get it on. You have to put on your what? New nature. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. My God. Put on your new nature. What is that new nature? Created to be like God. Woo! How many people in your circle will look and say, how do you do that? How did you know that? How did you perform that? Because whoever is enlightened walks like their God. Whoever lets his truth change their thinking becomes like God. And people go, man, that's a holy man. That's a man of God right there. You've done nothing more than exercise your right to be his son, his daughter. Am I reaching anybody out here today? Please hear me. Look at this. Truly righteous and holy. Verse 25. Stop telling lies. You know where lies come from? Fear. You're afraid somebody's going to look at you differently. Who cares? You are created in God's image. Let that come out so they see that. But when you're afraid, you'll lie and say, you know those lies when you really don't have to. Do you know where'd you put that ketchup? It's in the pantry. And you know you got that up in your bedroom. You didn't have to lie about that ketchup. But you were afraid someone's going to say, see, you wrong. You know that's supposed to be in the refrigerator. Stop lying. Look at your neighbor and say, stop lying. Stop lying. It ain't worth it. I had to make a decision, hell or lie, hell or lie. You gonna go to hell over ketchup? Could you imagine, what are you doing here? Ah, I murdered people. What are you doing here? Ah, I killed a nation of people. What are you doing here? Ah, I lied about ketchup. Come on. Really? Really? Look at somebody and say, don't go out like that. At least lie about mustard, too. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all part of the same body. Verse 26, and don't sin by letting anger control you. You know, Paul put it this way, be angry, but sin not. Don't sin by letting anger control you. When people get on your last nerve, I mean, you know when that happens, we like, ooh, boom, and there it goes. And then you just lose. No, that is not who you are. That is when your mind was in darkness. But you've been brought into the glorious light of Jesus. Call on the Holy Ghost to bring peace. Be anxious in nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Don't lose your mind because of your anger. Call on the spiritual resources of the Holy Ghost. How's that look? Holy Spirit, right now I am furious. But I need you to calm me down. Because my flesh is a mess. But you said you would help me. So I turn my anger over to you. It's just that easy. Oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. Watch this. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Because I know some people who sleepwalk and it ain't pretty. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. 28, if you are a thief, quit stealing. There are some good Christian people who steal. Now, it may be your time clock on the job. I'm not a thief. Yes, you are. You a bona fide crook. You put on a half an hour and you take an hour. Crook. Thief. Liar. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling the truth. We lie to ourselves. It ain't no biggie. It ain't, you know, they get more money out of my taxes than you. Liar! You're going to answer at the end of time. You cheated on your taxes. Don't nobody know but God. What you going to say to him? Ah! It was for $50. Ah! Don't go to hell over 50 bucks. At least make it 100. Quit. Instead, you know I'm kidding, right? Use your hands for good, hard work and then give generously to others in need. Learn to work hard. Don't try to get a quick fix. A believer doesn't have to. They work hard. Just like understanding who God is going to take some time. Don't go for the deep. Stay in the shallow water. Don't drown in revelations. So many people teach me about the white horse. It's white. Now come on back to the book of John. Learn the Bible. Make time to study the basics. The Holy Ghost will teach you if you will make time for him. Oh, man. There's so much. I gotta let you go. Oh, man. Listen to me. I'll close with a simple thought. Put it up on the screen, the three types of people in this world. Three types. I'll come back and talk about it, but there are three types. Put it up on the screen, please. There we go. There are three types of people in this world. You're either natural, carnal, or spiritual. Now, spirituality is not just because you claim you're spiritual. I'm spiritual. You ain't spiritual unless you have the Holy Spirit. That's the defining line. But there are three types of people. First one, you're natural. That means that you are unregenerated in your spirit. You are just a living soul, and your mind thinks like the world thinks. That means you don't even know Jesus. You don't know how bad it is. The second group, keep that up, is carnal Christians. Now, carnal Christians are a little bit different. They've been born again of the Spirit, but their mind's never been renewed. Their thinking has never changed. And so what they end up doing is be born again in the Spirit, but they act the way they used to act in the world. And then people see that and think that's what it's all about. No. That's because their minds haven't been renewed. The ultimate place that you want to be is this. To be a spiritual Christian. One who's born again of the Spirit, and your mind is renewed to know the good and perfect and acceptable will of God so that you can access that power and use it. Ladies and gentlemen, judge yourselves. Where are you? Maybe some in here are just natural. They've never accepted Jesus. Maybe you accepted Jesus, but you are carnal. Still think and act like you did before you got saved. That means you need God's word. Or maybe you're a spiritual Christian, and you should be reaching out to others and helping them grow. At this moment, I want you to stand to your feet, please. Ordinary people can do extraordinary things based on what you know. And I have to be honest with you, most of us were never taught how to be spiritual people. So we lived our lives in carnality. As one song says, and the song that came out years ago, powerful weaklings who exercise their politics. They are powerful people in the church, but they're weak in God. And they try to use politics to move the church, to hide their lack of spirituality. Foolishness. The church knows who's spiritual. You must become spiritual. Every Wednesday, we're gathering here for what we call Rooted. It's the curriculum we're using to study. Also, Discovery will help you understand your divine design. I'm going to teach that class today. And it'll help you know who you are and your capacity that God gave you. But ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand, I can't give you spirituality. You must hunger and thirst for it. You must want it. I don't care how long you've been saved. Maybe your fire went out. But in order to be spiritual, you must keep the spiritual word being fed to you. Because you're spiritual creatures, without the spiritual word, you will dehydrate in life. And you won't be happy anywhere you go. Let the word teach you. I don't care where you start. Start in Genesis or Matthew. Begin a Bible study. Ask one of our deacons to teach you and train you in a Bible study. We'll do it to help you grow. But you must grow. This church is not about just showing up. I do not want to be a bishop of a church of an ignorant people. You are to know your God, and He is to know you. Today, you're here.